Go ahead and open your Bibles to Psalm 124. We're in a series titled Road Trip, and we've been looking at some of the Psalms that are called the Songs of Ascents. And these Psalms were believed to have been sung by the Jews as they were traveling to Jerusalem during one of their couple of different pilgrimages during the year. And so in today's psalm, we're skipping 123 just because it thematically was very similar to some of the ones we looked at. And we're not covering all the songs of ascents. So we're moving to Psalm 124. And in this one, we're going to see things from a very interesting perspective. So the psalmist, and in this case, it's David. Not all the songs of ascents are from David. But in this one, it's from David, King David. And he explores the idea of what would have happened if the Lord was not on their side. Now, when my kids were younger, they went through this independent stage that probably all parents are familiar with. It's that time when they want to do everything themselves, even though they might not quite be ready for it. So instead of, say, buckling them in at the car, they say, I'll do it. And then they spend 5 minutes trying to buckle themselves in. And you just sit there and watch them. Or you try to help them put their shoes on. And they're like, I do it. Or maybe they have their shoes on and you want to help them tie their shoelaces. And they say, I'll do it. Maybe you try to pour their milk for them in the morning. And they say, I'll do it. Maybe later on they try to find their own spouse, and you want to find it. That's just me. Scratch that. But other ones, now doing those kinds of things, it's good for their development, right? It's good for kids to want to do things on their own, even though it's frustrating for parents because it takes twice or three times as long. But while the independent phase is good for children, the problem is that many people grow up and never really grow out of that phase. And often we think, like, as we're older, that we've done everything, that we've figured it all out by ourselves, and that we've gotten ourselves through everything on our own. And maybe looking at it from a human perspective, it feels that way, like you did do it. But in Psalm 124, it's almost the opposite of that. David gathers Israel together, and he says, in effect, let's be clear, Israel, about why we're still here. If the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been toast. Summarizing Psalm 124. And so, as we're going to see, though, this idea is not just a historical lesson for Israel to think about, for the Jews. It was certainly true for the Jews, but the same is true for us as followers of Jesus Christ. And so as we begin looking at the passage, I'm going to break it into four parts, but these four parts are summarized by one statement. And that statement, and we're going to break this into four parts, that statement is, if the Lord had not helped us, then we would have been destroyed, but the Lord delivered us, therefore we will trust him. If you're paying attention at the end, you're going to see there's one bonus statement I throw in there that's not part of this, but you'll just have to wait in suspense for that. And so that's what the psalmist conveys in the passage. And so before we look at each part, let me go ahead and read the entire psalm just so you get context and the flow of things. Psalm 124, verse 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. So let's start out looking at the first part. And in these first two verses, we see David sort of wonder aloud, if the Lord had not helped us. So let me read verses 1 and 2 again. So he asks, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us. So this kind of reasoning or question that comes up is called a contrary to fact condition. Now that's the fancy word. Basically what I'm getting at is that it's an unreal or hypothetical situation. Because in real life, God did intervene. But David wonders if the psalm, in the psalm here, what if God had not intervened? In fact, he brings it up twice in these two verses, saying, if the Lord had not been on our side. So the repetition is deliberate here. He's emphasizing the point. And so this is not just some random intellectual exercise where he explores what it would have been like if God was not on their side. The psalmist wants Israel to understand the real reason for their survival in the midst of all the challenges that they went through. Ultimately, it was not their military strength. It was not clever leadership or favorable circumstances or even Israel's own faithfulness. It was the Lord who got them through all of this. And this is, by the way, coming from King David, who was a gifted warrior and a gifted leader. So he was one of the greatest kings that Israel ever had. And yet King David proclaims through these observations that their success was not because of him or anything that they did, but because of the Lord. And so what would have happened if the Lord was not on their side? Well, the first is we see that they would have been destroyed. Destroyed. So the psalmist in verses 3 through, we'll say about 7, gives multiple examples of what would have happened if the Lord was not on their side. So I'm going to go through these as we go through the passage. And it all comes out of verse 2, where David says that when people rose up against us. So that's the real danger that he's talking about, that he's giving. But then as he describes it starting in verse 3, he's giving it from a different experience that other people that he would be familiar with. But so he's talking about animals and water and all that, but he's not really saying that the animals and water were the danger here. It's the nations around him that would take them and wipe them out immediately. And so the English word that we see in our translation for then is a direct translation from the Hebrew there. So it's as if the psalmist decides to start just listing some various ways that they would have been destroyed if God were not on their side. So here's the first one in verse 3. He says, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. So David is giving the imagery of an animal eating a prey. He's going to do this in a few verses again as well. So as a shepherd, he knew about vicious animals eating up weak animals. And if God had not protected Israel, they would have been swallowed up alive by one of the nations around them. That's what he's saying. Verse 4, we see, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. So in David's area, flooding was a big danger. So in his commentary, in one of the commentaries on Psalms, James Montgomery Boyce writes this. He says, in the dry, rugged mountains of central Palestine, the cracks and gullies of the hills are all connected so that any rain falling on the hard-baked soil quickly runs off and collects into wadis where it can rise to dangerous heights in just a few minutes. So without God, that's what would have happened to them, David's saying. And then verse 5, he continues the water theme. He says, then over us would have gone the raging waters. So the waters would have quickly come up unexpectedly and just flooded right over them and raged over them, destroying everything in the way. And then he mentions more dangers in verse 6 to 7. 6 to 7 is actually going to be part of our next point, but he gives some other dangers that I just want to point out as well. He says, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. So this is an image of an animal chewing at a carcass. And for example, let's think of Daniel from the book of Daniel. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den for not obeying the king, for not bowing, and for instead turning and following God. And by the morning time, if God had not intervened, the lions would have been burping up Daniel inside of them, right? And they would have finished, they would be chewing on his skeleton by that point. And so that's when King Darius comes to check on Daniel the next morning. And thanks to God intervening in Daniel's situation, when Darius checks in on him, Daniel's able to call up from the lion's den and say this. He says, my God sent his angel and shut the mouth, the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. And then lastly, last thing we see, last danger, is verse 7, where David writes, we have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. So if God had not intervened, they would have been like a bird that was caught in a trap and not able to get out. But instead, the snare is broken. The trap was broken, and they were able to escape. So again, all of these have to do with surrounding nations, described really in a way that people would understand. And his point is that if the Lord had not helped them, that they would have been destroyed. So without God, there is no way that Israel would have made it. And that's what we see in the next part, in verses 6 through 7, where we see the next main point that, but the Lord delivered us. So verse 6 to 7 again. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. So thanks to the Lord, Israel made it out of all the challenges that we see in this psalm. So whether that be figurative flash floods or rising waters or fierce animals or traps, God delivered them through it all. But as I said in the beginning, this is not just a historical lesson about the Jews. Because, church, the same God who delivered Israel delivers all who follow him. And so if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, then he is your deliverer as well. And that includes big things like salvation, and I'll talk about that. But it also includes little things like challenges in your life. So in verse 3, David mentions fierce animals. And in 1 Peter 5:8, Peter says that your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour. So Satan would love to destroy your faith. He would love to pull you away from Christ and devour you. But church, Satan does not get the final word. So you are being guarded by God's power through faith for salvation. So if it had not been the Lord, you would be toast. But through the Lord, you are safe. Or looking at verse 4, David talks about flash floods that can appear out of nowhere and cause havoc. And if the Lord had not been on our side, then we would be engulfed by many of life's unexpected difficulties. But Jesus is our solid rock. The second part of verse 4 talks about the torrents that would have gone over us. Or verse 5 talks about the raging waters that would have gone over us. And so that sounds like different dangers or distress or trouble that comes up. But Paul says in Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? So he's talking about all these things that can sweep over us. And are any of those going to separate us from Jesus Christ? Well, the answer, as we'll see, is no. Will any of them destroy us? He says, verse 37, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, not because of our own strength. No, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So in Christ, we don't have to fear the storms of life. Church, in Christ, we have a deliverer. Now, as I've said many times before, that doesn't mean that Jesus is just going to take away all of our troubles and make the Christian life go smoothly. But none of those troubles will be the ultimate end for you or for me. So we are travelers going through a difficult world, and there will be troubles along the way. But here's the key in our next point. The Lord will see us safely home. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So through Christ, we have victory over death, not in our own power, but through the power of Jesus Christ. I was thinking about how one day, maybe next week, maybe in 50 years, I don't know, but one day there will be a funeral for me. And when that day comes, my wife and kids will hopefully be sad that I've passed because they're going to miss me. But they will not be sad because I'm gone forever. Because through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, I can stare at death and say, death, you did not win. Sin, you didn't conquer. You may have tripped me up along the way, but you did not conquer sin. Thanks to Jesus Christ, I have victory. About 1900 years ago, there was an elderly pastor named Polycarp who was given a choice. He could deny and curse Jesus Christ and live, or remain faithful and die. And Polycarp answered the officials by saying, 86 years I have served him, and he never did me any wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? And shortly after, Polycarp was executed. Now, looking at a story like that, some might say, well, how did Jesus deliver him from that trouble? But I would say the answer is right there, because Jesus never promised Polycarp that he wouldn't die. He promised Polycarp something better, that death would not win. And so the Romans could take his life, but they could not take his Savior. They could kill his body and strangle it or mutate it or burn it or whatever they did to him in his situation, but they could not keep him from resurrection. And church, the same is true for everyone who has put their faith in Jesus Christ, who belongs to Jesus Christ. Sometimes God will deliver us from trials, but other times God may deliver us through trials. But in Jesus Christ, he will see us safely home. And so whatever is ahead of us, we can say, as the psalmist says in verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And that leads us right into the next point. Therefore, we will trust him. So after thinking through everything and remembering how the Lord delivered him, through everything, all these difficult situations, David declares, our help is in the name of the Lord. And so this is not just a conclusion, though, as if he's finishing. It's a statement of faith going forward. Remember, these psalms were meant to be sung by the travelers to Jerusalem. And so the point is that they remembered what God had done in the past so that then they would have deeper faith in the future. So if this were some sort of math equation or equation, and I never did well in math, but I know this equation. Past danger plus past deliverance equals present and future confidence. And so what does the psalmist say is our help? Well, in verse 8, he says, our help is in the name of the Lord. And so to say the name of the Lord, he's not just talking about quoting the name of the Lord like some sort of secret incantation. The name of the Lord represents God's character and presence and reputation and his covenant faithfulness towards us and his revealed identity to us as we see in Scripture. And so our confidence is not in saying a formula, like just going around all the time and saying, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Our confidence is in who God is, in his name. And then David concludes verse 8 by saying, who made heaven and earth? So then Jesus, God, is our maker. And that's why he can look at entire nations rising up against Israel and still seeing that there's no match. Because nations are just merely created people and God is the creator. And it's not even a matter of like a strength comparison here. Creators are not only stronger, but the creators know the coding. It would be like a video game character trying to defeat the creator of the game. It can't happen. It doesn't make any sense. And that's why we can trust God. He will protect us. He will never leave us, and he will never just let us be overcome. But as I said at the beginning, there's one other thing that we see in this passage that is sort of our bonus point here, and I'm going to add. So we can trust him, but because the Lord delivered us, we can also praise him. We also praise him. And we see this throughout the psalm in Psalm 124, but the most blatant one comes in verse 6, where David exclaims, blessed be the Lord. So he's not doing this to impress anyone or earn anything from God by saying this or by praising God. He's remembering what God has done in the past, and that's leading him to praise God. And so here's the thing. No matter how difficult your life is right now, if you have been saved by Christ, then you have a reason to praise him. So maybe your life is struggling right now in some way. Maybe you have health problems that can't be cured, financial problems that seem beyond fixing. Maybe you have spouse problems or kid problems, struggles with fear, depression, anxiety. Listen, as a pastor, I've heard them all. People here struggle with all these things. And I'm not minimizing any of those. Those are real legit struggles. But I want to declare to you, through the authority of God's word, that none of those things will keep you from making it home safely. Through Christ, your ultimate problem is solved. You are saved. You're saved by him. Your sins are forgiven. And on top of that, through Christ, he will be with you along the way. He will guide you and comfort you and help you through this life. So therefore, you have a reason to praise. Not by just faking it. not from just pretending like your problems don't exist, but from the reality that Christ is King and your problems are not. That Christ loves you and will bring you home safely. That you have a helper, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of you. So you have a reason to praise. I've shared before about a lady named Joni Erickson Tada. And when she was 17, she dove into the Chesapeake Bay, broke her neck, and became paralyzed from the shoulders down. So Joni prayed for God to heal her. She wanted desperately to walk again, but God chose to not give her that healing. In fact, for her nearly 60 years, for the past 60 years, she's lived in a wheelchair. She's battled depression and chronic pain, and even on top of all that, cancer. And yet, Joni once described a lesson that God taught her with these words that is up here on the screen now. She said, "I've learned to sing my way through suffering." As I saw that, I thought, man, that's powerful right there. Because she isn't singing because the wheelchair went away. She isn't praising God because all her problems were fixed. She praises God because her problems do not get the final word. Christ gets the final word. And the same is true for you. You may have cancer that can't be healed from a medical standpoint. You may have depression that's not going to go away. You may have a broken marriage or financial problems or a child that you worry about. But if you belong to Christ, you're going home safely. And nothing, not suffering, not Satan, not death itself, can stop Jesus from getting you there. And so even while you're hurting, even while you're going through these things, you can still say, like the psalmist said, "Blessed be the Lord." So as I wrap up, let's go back to where we started. Little children, they like to say, "I'll do it." But maybe that's more like us than we realize. When we look back on our lives and we think, "I made it this far. I got through it. I figured it out." But Psalm 124, David calls us to remember that if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. So church, where would you be without him? Where would I be without him? If Christ had not saved me, if Christ had not kept me, if Christ had not carried me, if he had not forgiven me, if he had not promised to bring me home, where would I be? The answer is lost. But that's not my story. And if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, that's not your story. Because the Lord is on our side. Christ did save us, and he is keeping us now. And one day he will bring us home safely. And so whatever you're walking through right now, don't put your confidence just in yourself. Don't put your confidence in your circumstances or in another person. Remember what God has already done. Trust him for what lies ahead. And praise him even while you're walking through the difficulty. Because our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And because Jesus Christ has saved us and kept us and will bring us home safely, let Israel say and let the church say, "Blessed be the Lord." I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up. We're going to close in prayer. As they're making their way up, I want to let you know that maybe you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ. Well, it's not too late. If you still have breath, you can still turn to him today. And so I want to encourage you, as Scripture says, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. And so there is no sin too powerful that can overpower Christ, that you are forgiven through the blood of Jesus. So turn to him and give him your life right now. And after the song, I'll give you an opportunity right after the service to come down and talk with someone. And so if you want to, just come on down, and we'd love to be able to talk with you or pray with you as well. So let's go ahead and let's spend a moment now in prayer.